You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're right. HPV, human papillomavirus, which is a wart virus, is certainly related to cervical cancer. But over the last 30 years or so, it has been recognised that it is involved in the increasing incidence of head and neck cancers. So, in particular, cancers of an area we call the oropharynx, which is the throat, and the two main areas affected are the tonsil and the base of the tongue. And there are tonsil-type tissues in both of those areas. So the tonsils that we normally talk about in the side of the, in the throat at the back, are what we call the pharyngeal tonsil, and then there's another tonsil on the back of the tongue called the lingual tonsil. The HPV virus becomes incorporated in the deep crypts, which are the sort of folds of lining, of the lining cells called epithelium. And the virus interacts in a complex way with the cells, and then over a period of time promotes these cancers. And so we're seeing an increased incidence of them. If you look at the numbers in New Zealand, between 1981 and 2010, about the numbers have been doubled. So it's gone from 2 per 100,000 population per year to 4 per 100,000 population per year. And so in New Zealand, you know, we're talking about, some pretty big numbers. And in the 2020s, that number is predicted to go up to 6 per 100,000 population per year.
So what's causing these increases?
So it's always been around. Everybody who is sexually active is exposed to the virus, or the vast majority of people are. And people, we generally shed the virus by various immune mechanisms that we have. And women are better at shedding the virus than men are. But there are a small percentage of people that become carriers, and those patients are the ones that develop tumours. It is thought, and there is evidence to demonstrate this, that an increase in various sexual practices has been the cause of this rising rate of throat cancer due to the virus. And that is essentially an increase in the frequency and in the practices of oral sex. And so there is evidence to show that people who have increased amounts of oral sex, people who start having sex earlier in their lives, people who have more than 5 sexual partners, have an increased risk of these tumours.
Has the introduction of the vaccination, would that have decreased the amount of cases?
Well, certainly not yet. What we know is that there's been two reasons that the rate of cervical cancer has decreased. One of those is because of the introduction of human papilloma virus vaccines. And the other is that there have been, certainly in countries like New Zealand and a lot of other Western countries, screening programs. Now, those two factors essentially confound each other. So to separate them out and say, well, that's responsible, and it is difficult. However, there is evidence that the vaccine reduces the rate of human papillomavirus infection and reduces the rate of cervical and genital warts, reduces the rate of oral and oropharyngeal warts and cervical infection. And that evidence is widely recognized. And that comes from a big study that came out of Costa Rica in the early part of this decade, or earlier part of this decade.
Recently, the vaccination got changed from Gardasil to Gardasil 9.
Yeah.
What's the difference in the vaccination there?
Okay, so when this vaccine first started, it was a two-valent vaccine. So that there are hundreds, I think about 150 different types of human papillomavirus. And you have to recognize that human papillomavirus has been with humans since we evolved. And so, you know, we've been constantly exposed to these viruses. They mutate, and there are 150 or so odd types. There are several types that not all types cause cancer. Okay, some cause benign warts, some cause other lesions, some are commensurate. And so, but there are certain types that cause cancers. And so the vaccine over the time it's also evolved has been designed to address those viruses that cause cancer. So it started off with the higher risk ones, and I believe they were type 16, type 11, type 18. So the first vaccine was bivalent. So it took care of, or had, it caused immunity to two viruses. The second was a quadrivalent vaccine. And that caused protection against four different viruses. Gardasil 9 gives protection against nine viruses. And the other advantage of Gardasil 9 is that rather than a three-dose vaccination program, which was what was required for Gardasil 4, the quadrivalent, you only need two. And as you may or may not know, the New Zealand government funds that vaccine for children, or for boys and girls and young women and men between the ages of 12 and, actually it may be younger than that, maybe the ages of 9 and 26, for both males and females since January of 2017. Before that it was girls only.
A lot of vaccination, there's a lot of controversy, and there seems to be some sort of movement where a lot of parents won't get their children vaccinated. Is there a particular stigma around this treatment?
Well, unfortunately, there is a lot of misinformation, and a lot of that misinformation is propagated by particular advocacy groups in the community who are anti-vaccination. So that's one of the issues, and there is a lot of misunderstanding. There is really no evidence that this vaccine has any significant adverse effects. There are recognised adverse effects of the vaccine, and they are local irritation to the injection site, and there are allergies to the aspects of, but that is extremely rare. That is extremely rare. The risk of things like autism and these various other claims that are made against this vaccine, there is no evidence for. And so when you say they're controversial because there's a lot of misinformation. They're not controversial in terms of science.
Yeah, talking to one of your patients earlier, she said head and neck cancer is rather traumatizing. She put out a figure of 80% of people who have head and neck cancer suffer from depression. How traumatizing is this specific cancer compared to others?
Well, it's a cancer that is involved. It's visible. Okay, so patients who have this. Patients have treatment for these sort of cancers, and I have to say before I start on this, HPV-related cancer in the oropharynx or in the throat has a better prognosis for the most part than cancers that we previously saw that were related to smoking and drinking. So the prognosis is better. That is, more patients will survive, and the tumours respond well to treatment. So that's a good thing. However, the treatment has significant impacts. The traditional treatment for this type of tumour was chemoradiotherapy. So it's a combination of radiation, and it's 7 weeks of radiation, 5 days a week. It has significant side effects on patients. That includes pain, fatigue, ulceration in the mouth and throat, the inability to swallow, difficulty with speaking. Some patients have to have permanent feeding tubes. Some patients have problems with breathing and they need tracheostomy tubes. And then in addition, if you add chemotherapy into that regimen, that treatment regimen, the patients can also suffer neurological effects like hearing loss and numbness in their fingers and toes that's permanent. So there are some short-term effects and there are some long-term effects. And what we have realized is that over a period of time, when we see that the prognosis is better, we've been able to de-escalate the treatment for patients. And so that is lesser doses of radiation, lesser doses of chemotherapy, and actually moving to surgery as a primary treatment modality, which has some benefits, but still has significant side effects. And you know, these patients often have scars on their face and on their neck. They're visible. They're in the public. They have interference in the way that they speak. You know, they're out in the community and they're not able to be understood. They can't go to a restaurant and eat. So it has a major impact on quality of life. It is really not something that you can just say, hey, well, you know, the prognosis is better, it's fine. Don't get vaccinated because you can get cured from this by treatment. To an extent, that's true. But the treatment has a major impact. And some of these patients still don't survive. I've just been talking to a patient this morning, in fact, who has a tumour that hasn't responded to chemoradiotherapy and is now looking at radical surgery, which would involve removing his entire tongue, possibly his voice box, lymph nodes in the neck, and then he still doesn't have a chance of being cured of it. So, you know, this is not something that's a minor problem. This is a big deal.
That's all the questions I have. Is there any further comments that you would like to make?
You know, I guess I would just like to say that the way that these patients generally present is with a lump in the neck, and often that can be without any other symptoms. So, and generally these people are in their fifth and sixth decades of life, so we're talking about 40-year-olds and to 60-year-olds. There are four times as many men as women that present, but women still get this condition. And a lump in the neck in an adult should not be ignored. So that is not something you can just say, hey, you know what, that's fine, I'm going to ignore it. That needs to be investigated. It needs to be investigated by someone who has the ability to be able to look into the throat. And that's by often using a flexible endoscope that is passed through the nose to be able to look at the base of tongue and look at the back of the tonsil. Other patients do present with tonsil symptoms or throat symptoms, and they are a persistent ulcer in the throat, a mass in the tonsil or a lump in the tonsil, bleeding from the throat, pain on swallowing, pain on one side of the throat that radiates to the ear. Those are all the symptoms that need to be observed and thought about when someone is thinking about this condition.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.